Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Up high in the Andes Mountains of Chile, a number of years ago, the mummified remains of a 15-year-old girl, a teenage girl, from the Inca tribe, was found up on the top of a volcano. They believed that her body had been brought there as a human sacrifice to appease the gods as many as 500 years earlier. It's just a sad reminder to us of how humanity gropes to find God, how sinful, fallen man just does not know where God is and has invented numerous ways and multiple gods to try to seek out the truth about who God is and how to know this God, and especially how to make sure to appease this God and make sure that everything is right between humanity and God. It demonstrates to us that if we are to know truth, if we are to know truth about God, if we're to know truth about ourselves, if we are to know truth about spiritual matters and the kingdom of God and how to appease God and all of that, then God has to reveal it to us. And he has done so. He has come into our world and uncovered himself to us in the gospel, in the person of his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And through that very Word and the teaching about Christ, God now has revealed the truth to us as to who he is. When Jesus asks his disciples who people say that he is, he gets a variety of answers, but the one he's looking for is the one that Peter finally gives. And Jesus now turns to Peter and says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." If we are to know truth, God himself has to be the revealer of it to us. Our Lord commends Peter for his great confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just a brief phrase. And yet in that confession is packed so much. Martin Luther says the entire Apostles' Creed is included in these words. That inside of that confession of Christ as the Son of the living God, we have there all of his power and might over the devil. The very one who came into this world to take on human flesh, to go to the cross to make complete atonement for every sin that you and I have ever done before God, so that I could stand here today on behalf of God and declare you completely forgiven of all sin. The very one who came to live a perfect, holy, righteous life that he offers now to us in his word and sacraments. The one who has come to throw open the gates of heaven by his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. That Christ and the confession of Christ is packed into Peter's little statement here in our text. It's interesting that in warfare, if a much weaker enemy takes and musters all of his might and power and ammunition and intelligence and force into one point in the battle and goes to fight in that battle and still loses, that shows the vast supremacy of the opponent. And so it is with the forces of evil and the forces of Hades, of hell itself. When our Lord Jesus went to the cross, they mustered all of their might and power into one point in time to try with all of their might to pressure against him and to crush him. And it looked like they won for a day or two. But on the third day, he rose again, showing his great victory as our Lord walks away and leaves behind the grave clothes. God takes all of his superiority and supremacy over the devil and hell itself and has taken that and tucked it into the skin of Jesus Christ in this world. And Jesus Christ himself has taken that same supremacy and authority over the devil and has tucked it into the waters of baptism and into the sacred meal of his body and blood and into his precious word and even into the confession on the lips of his faithful in this world who go out and tell about him. And so what that means is that our confession of Christ in the world is equal in power to Christ himself and the Father's power in heaven. And just as Samson walked up to the city of Gaza and ripped off of the gates, the very doors of that gate, off of its hinges, and walked away with them on his shoulders, even so, the littlest child with "Jesus loves me, this I know" on his or her heart can walk to the very gates of hell and walk away triumphant with those gates. When it comes to military force and power in this world, having a majority in your army is typically of a great advantage, especially years ago before all of the technology. Having numbers can really matter. But when it comes to the realm of truth and when it comes to the realm of spiritual matters, numbers don't matter. As one church father said, one with God is a majority. Now, knowing the power of the confession that Christ has given us, knowing how God has tucked all of his power over sin, death, and the devil into the word and into the confession of his church, why would we ever want to shrink away from making it in our day and age? As we look out on the landscape of religion here in our country, the devil seems to gain more and more control every year. And he must smile with delight as some new doctrine falls, some new moral issue is caved in the church, as another church body capitulates to the forces of evil in this world and false teaching. There must be a lot of parties going on in hell. And there is a gravity inside of each one of us who belong to the members of Christ's church. There is a gravity in us to compromise God's truth in order to fit in. There's such a strong desire in us, in our culture and world, to be a part of it and to be going along with it and to fit in. Confessing an unpopular Christ is not popular. Kermit the Frog was right. It's not easy being green. The very Saint Peter who makes this confession in the presence of our Lord and is commended for it, that very Saint Peter ends up crucified upside down for his confession in his martyrdom. Now let us not fool ourselves. A generation is coming among us and among our church bodies, where this precious faith that we now have and cherish and confess is going to be compromised, set aside, and lost. It will happen. It's happened to every other church body. And may it be our prayer that this devastating apostasy from the faith not take place in our day, and may God grant us the faith and the strength of conviction to push that day off for at least a few more generations. You see, the strength of our confession is not to be found in the people that make it. The strength of our confession is not to be found in the church bodies that make it, but it is rather to be found in the one who conceals himself inside of that confession, our victorious Lord. So it will never benefit you. It will never benefit your children. It will never benefit your church, and it will never benefit humanity at large for us in any way to compromise this wonderful gospel. God grant that while worlds endure, we keep his teachings pure through throughout all generations. Amen.